the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let my prayer rise before you like incense, my hands like an evening offering. O Lord, let my prayer rise before you like incense, my hands like an evening offering. Lord, I am let my prayer rise before you like incense, my hands like an evening offering. O Lord, let my prayer rise before you like incense, my hands like an evening offering. Lord, set a guard at my mouth, keep watch at the gate of my lips. Let my heart not turn to things that are wrong, to sharing the evil deeds done by the sinful. No, I will never taste their delight. But the wicked shall never anoint my head. Every day I counter their malice with prayer. O Lord, let my prayer rise before you like incense. My hands like an evening offering. To you, Lord, my God, my eyes are turned. In you I take refuge. Do not forsake me. Keep me safe from the traps they have set for me, from the snares of those who do evil. O Lord, let my prayer rise before you like incense, my hands like an evening offering. Praise to the Father, praise to the Son, all praise to the life-giving Spirit. As it was, is now, and shall always be, for ages unending. Amen. O Lord, let my prayer rise before you.
Living God, from the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is worthy of praise. Let our prayer rise like incense before you. May our upraised hands be like an evening sacrifice, acceptable to you through Christ our
and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit.
Thank you. take away their breath, they perish and return to the dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the
Spirit, may we please you by being your light in the darkness. Fill us with your breath, that through us you can renew the face of the earth, through Christ our Lord. One day stand together and worship in your holy presence through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "This is how you are to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Prayer that occurs in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the 11th chapter of Luke, we know as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. The version in the Gospel of Matthew is longer. This prayer was taught by Jesus in response to a question from one of his disciples. Luke tells us, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And so the prayer is not so much a formula that needs to be recited, though reciting it is not prohibited. Instead, it is given to us as a pattern for prayer. The Lord's Prayer has a principal place in Christian worship. The plural "our" is used throughout so that we who are giving voice to the prayer acknowledge both the presence of God and our connection to the community. The first three petitions focus on the person who is focused on our attention to God. The remaining petitions turn to our needs, asking God to help all of us. The prayer begins with the address, "Our Father in heaven." Prayer is not so much language about God as it is speaking to God. To pray is to risk speaking to a God who is unseen yet very real. To pray is to recognize that God is different than us. God is in heaven, above, around, whereas the praying person is on earth. God is another, and we are not God. Yet Jesus invites us to call God our Father. Theologically, we do so because God, as Father, has created us and given us life. Through Jesus, the Son, we are redeemed as children of God. And through the Holy Spirit, God evokes the faith that enables us to recognize Him as our Father. Next, the petition is that God's name might be holy. The focus still remains on God's identity and His action. According to the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, God would make His name holy by gathering people together, cleansing them from sin and giving them a new spirit. By such actions, God's name is known throughout the world. The second and third petitions continue focus on God by saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew's gospel recognizes that the world is the scene of contending forces that hold our attention. We do not live in a neutral space. Powers of good and evil are manifested in diseases of mind and body, the falsehoods that people claim are true, and the sins that destroy us as individuals and communities. To pray that God's kingdom will come is to ask that God's power to create will prevail
over those forces that destroy, and that his power will free us from bondage. That kingdom comes about through his Son, Jesus, who is enthroned through crucifixion, revealing a kingdom characterized by sacrifice and resurrection. In heaven, God's will is unopposed, for there sin and death do not exist. As long as sin and death are active in our world, we are moved to pray that God's life-giving purposes, that his will, may be carried out here as it is in heaven, unimpeded. Then the prayer shifts from the focus on God to us, beginning with, give us this day our daily bread. The needs of the individual are not separated from the needs of the community. It's not give me my daily bread, but give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. In Israel's tradition, a vivid form of daily bread was the manna that they gathered each day during the Exodus experience. They could not create the manna for themselves. They could only gather it together. And they could not hoard it. They could not save up for themselves extra for the next day because it spoiled. It did not last. They had to receive it each day. The simplicity of this petition is a startling reminder to us that we are like those who journeyed through the wilderness. Our lives are not self-generated. Our lives are not self-sustaining. Our lives rely upon what we receive from God, from the giver, and can only be stewarded as a gift, not for ourselves, but for others. Then the prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The Greek text more literally asks to release us from our debts, which is the translation used in the King James Version in many Protestant liturgies. Some older translations read trespasses. The parallel in Luke chapter 11 reads sins. The assumption is that sin is like a debt that is owed to God and is beyond our capacity to repay. At the level of relationships, we accumulate hurts and grievances, which end up defining the relationship. If wrongs from the past define the present, then those wrongs from the past also close off the future. The term forgive, the Greek term forgive, is literally release. To forgive is not to say that that which happened doesn't matter. No, it's to say that the wrongs, that the sins, that the debts that have occurred no longer define the relationship. Forgiveness or release means that there can be a different future, which is not defined by the past. To see ourselves as recipients of that release, and then to extend that release to others so that our relationships, not only with God but with one another, are not defined by the events of the past. God begins the process of opening the future through his forgiveness. And we who have received it are called to extend it. We are not called to perpetuate destructive patterns or letting things go. Forgiveness is designed to bring change in us and in others. It accomplishes its purpose when it opens for us a future that we thought was closed off. As we look at the last two petitions, it says, "Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." God will never lead us into temptation, since God tempts no one to sin. The Greek actually tells us, "Do not let us be led into temptation." The English translation muddies it up a little bit, as if God is the one. But we are reminded that we are called not to be led into temptation. And how are we led into temptation? Through our relationships, through the things that we do, the things that we watch, the people we interact with. And so we pray that we may not be led into destructive relationships, because that will lead us to sin. Prayer concludes by asking our Heavenly Father to protect us from evil, to protect us from that which will destroy us spiritually. And in that destruction, it destroys us in our relationships with others. And so as we reflect upon this wonderful prayer, we are reminded that it teaches us how to pray. How many times do we go to prayer and the first thing we do is we center our prayer upon ourselves? But Jesus, in teaching us the Lord's Prayer, reminds us that our focus first is God. Then, after giving praise, after giving thanks to God, asking that His will be done, then we offer our petitions. Then we offer our needs. It is a wonderful reminder for us of how we approach prayer. And it is meant for us to be a springboard into a deeper prayer. Many times, when we get stuck in our prayer, the Lord's Prayer will lead us to focus. Relationship with Christ.
us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in and transform us through Christ our Lord. And love of Him and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia.
This time, and hopefully we will continue to do so in the seasons